All right, we're going to continue on. In our lessons on devotedness to God, we're having a lesson this morning on the fire that illuminates. Maybe you've figured it out by now. There are many ways that we could speak about a life that is devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're just kind of walking our way through the temple. We could have chosen other ways. So the fire that illuminates is the fire that lights the candlesticks, which brings illumination inside the temple. And if you'll remember, we were there at the altar. We looked upon that altar. We realized this altar is the place where everything begins. Our Lord Jesus Christ has died for us. He shed His blood for us. We see that justification that we just heard about so beautifully. Our hearts are, they well up with gratitude for what Christ has done for us. And because of that, and that flows out of that, we choose to get up there on that altar and yield our whole lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of different words have been used. We use the words fully surrendered, and I must remind each one of us this morning that these words have been tacked on to the other words because those words have been weakened. So it's no longer surrendered. Now it's fully surrendered. It's no longer a committed life. It's a totally committed life. It's no longer a consecrated life, but it's an entire consecrated life. It's no longer getting on the altar, but it's all on the altar. And it's no longer being yielded. It's completely yielded. Other words have been added to those words because those words have been weakened by the very experiences of people's lives. So we see that in that type of a posture, a fire begins to burn in the life of the Christian. Let's begin our lesson this morning by reading in 1 John. 1 John 1:7. That's not where we're going to start reading, but that verse surely has come up a lot. The last few days, we're going to read it again. The fire that illuminates or makes light or brings to light or reveals that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. That's Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. And if I could just stop there and explain a little bit. If you follow that little theme, the theme that we're going to read here in verse 5 through the whole book of 1 John, you'll find out that's exactly what 1 John is all about. John keeps bringing out by different points, by looking at it from a different angle, the same point that is brought out here in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That's the message that they heard of Him. That's the message that they saw in Him. As we see here in verse 1, He says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we saw with our eyes, which we looked upon, which our hands have handled. We walked with Him. We saw Him. We touched Him. We watched Him. We saw Him in every situation of life. We saw the way He lived and all of these things. And now we're declaring it unto you. And not only declaring what we saw and heard and handled, but what we heard from Him. And that is the message that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if, maybe I just emphasize a little bit different part of this verse that we've used so many times. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin, if I can give it in the proper Greek tense. It's present and continuous. Keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And I just appreciated yesterday Brother John's description of that, of someone coming behind us and just washing and washing and washing as we walk. Oh, that blessed my soul to see that. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus does. So this then is the message that we declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now here we are back at this altar again, and we have this fire burning, and this fire, we learned yesterday, we talked about the Word of God, because we have food. Because of that fire, we have food that we can eat. Because of that fire, we also have light that comes into our souls, because God is light. And that fire is started by God, because God is a consuming fire. When we think of the early Christians there at Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell upon them there, fell upon them with cloven tongues of fire. Wherever you find God, you'll find fire. Wherever you find God, you'll find light. Wherever you find God, you'll find love. There are other things, but those are characteristics of God. Well, when this fire begins to burn, the light goes on. And I wish it was nighttime so we could illustrate it, but we cannot do that here this morning. But wherever there's fire, the light goes on. I once had the opportunity of hearing about a little exercise, an experiment that was done in an assembly. It was a large assembly. It was done at nighttime. As they were gathering into the room, and I think there was about 5,000 people in this room, as each one came into the room that evening, they were given two things. They were given a candle about this big, and they were given a book of matches. Everyone got a candle and a book of matches when they walked into the room. And then after everyone was seated in their places, the lights were turned out. And the person came up behind the pulpit and lit one candle. And, oh, what a blessing it was to see that one candle burn. And this touches a little bit on some of the emphasis that Brother John has been making about realizing the greatest blessings of God as the church is corporate, as we as individuals find ourselves corporately in a body of our Lord Jesus Christ. But they held up that one candle up there, and the whole room was completely dark, and there was one candle up there that was lit. And it was lit, and it made light, and everyone knew that light was there. But then from that point, they turned around and asked everybody in the room to take their match out and light their candle, and 5,000 people lit their candle at the same time, and there was light in that room. It was magnificent. So when the fire begins to burn, the light goes on. And when the light goes on, people begin to see. You begin to see. We're speaking about a fire that illuminates. I'd have to give a little of my own experience here. You know, when I was converted with very little light from God's Word. I hadn't read the Bible. I hadn't grown up in a Christian home. I had no teachings from the Word of God when I was converted. None at all. I only had a few verses that my aunt had shared with me just a couple hours before. But it's very interesting what happens when light comes. Because I remember so clearly from the first day of my salvation, I could see. I saw a new kingdom. And it was like walking into a room where you'd never been before. And you know how it is, or going to a place where you've never been before, maybe a museum, you walk in there, there's all kinds of displays over here, over there, you're not sure where to look first, you walk in this room and everything is in here, and you're looking here and your mind is caught over here, and then your eyes go over here. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. When the fire is burning in our hearts, then all of a sudden we begin to see. And what we see will change our lives. What we see will change our lives. You know, it's interesting to me as I pondered revivals of the past. All of these little things that we're speaking about this week, every one of them is evident in every revival all the way through history. You think about it. Wherever there's a real Holy Spirit moved revival, there's repentance unto salvation. Wherever there is a Holy Spirit moved revival, there's immediately an emphasis on being completely and totally given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever there is a Holy Spirit moved revival, the Word of God becomes very important in the midst of those that are there. Wherever there is that move of revival, illumination immediately comes. People begin to see things that they never saw before, even though they read it and read it and read it and read it in the Bible. They begin to see things they never saw before. Prayer becomes a flame in the hearts of God's people, and the presence of God becomes real to everyone. Those are the very points that of our lessons as we go through this week. I'm convinced that one of the greatest needs among God's people today is that they do not see. If you can remember, one of the things that our brother John bemoaned before us as he was beginning to open up the book of Ephesians to us, he described to us somebody who had riches and they were all there, and here's a big pile of riches, and yet the person is sitting there not availing himself of them. Well, that's exactly the state of the church today. And the reason why the church can sit there with all those riches and not realize that they're there is because they do not see them. But when the fire of God begins to burn inside of our hearts, all of a sudden illumination comes. And we begin to see things that we never saw before. When the fire touches the oil in the candlestick, spiritual realities come into view. Let's turn also to 2 Corinthians 5 and just read a verse that bears some understanding on what we're speaking about here. I'm not talking about some special revelations. I'm not talking about some special vision. I'm simply speaking about an illumination that comes into our lives where we begin to see spiritual reality. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And the things which are not seen need to be seen today in the church of Jesus Christ. The things that are not seen are not being seen. And I know that verse is a little bit confusing. He says there, we look not on the things which are seen, but we look on the things which are not seen. That doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but to the spiritual heart and mind, it makes very good sense. What he's simply saying is this: we don't look at the things that can be seen with these eyes, but we look at the things that are seen by the eyes of our heart. And when the fire begins to burn in the heart, the eyes of the heart are opened up and you begin to see things that you never saw before. What do you see? I truly believe this is one of the reasons for anemic Christianity today. Because people see with these eyes. And they live their lives by what they see with these eyes. They make their decisions by what they see with these eyes. They make their choices with these eyes. Because they see very dimly with the eyes of their heart. If God would pull back the veil and completely reveal to us all the spiritual realities that are even going on in this room today, it would make every one of us stand in awe. What we see will change our life. I just, sitting here listening to our brother this morning speak about justification by faith, and I thought to myself as I heard him, oh God, that we could see it. And I know we all heard it. And I know we even said amen as the things were shared. It was exciting to us. But I thought to myself, oh, would to God that we could see it. There's some people in this room today who desperately need to see that beautiful justification by faith in Christ Jesus completely outside of themselves. There's some people in this room today who desperately need to see it. And if you see it, it will change your life completely. You'll never be the same. But you need to see it with these eyes. And when you do, it won't be hard to get up there on that altar. It won't be hard. So what we see will change our lives, and you'll see that as we move down through here and look at some of these things. As the fire begins to burn and the light turns on, here's the first thing that happens. We begin to see the kingdom of God. We see a kingdom. We see a king. And I praise God this morning that even though our King is not here physically, our King is here and we can see Him and we can see His kingdom and we can live as if He was sitting right here today. We have a King. We see a kingdom. This kingdom has a King. This kingdom has order. This kingdom has dominion. It has work to do. This kingdom has enemies. This kingdom has goals and purposes and desires in it. It's a whole kingdom. And it's one that we need to see. It's one that you will not see except by the illumination of the Holy Spirit in your lives. We've spoken a little bit about purpose. And it's big stuff. For you young people in these days, in the days, in the years that you're in right now, that you have purpose. But one of the reasons why young people don't have purpose is they don't see. So their purposes go as far as they see. What are your purposes? Well, I want to get a job. I want to be a farmer. I'd like to have a wife. Well, those aren't evil things, but they're pretty earthly. If those are your purposes, they're pretty earthly. It shows that you do not see the real purposes. You do not see the real kingdom. You do not see the things that cannot be seen. You do not see them. And because you do not see them, you're making your decisions. You're setting your goals. You're charting the course of your life based on the things that you see. But my dear young people, there are some things that you do not see that you need to see before you start making those kind of choices. It'll make total difference in the direction of your life. We've been meditating some on all non-resistance and the two kingdoms and the separation of church and state and how much should we get involved in politics and how much of this should we do and how much of that should we do, and all of that's very good. We need to have instruction in those areas, but I'll tell you what would clear the whole thing up. I mean, if you see the kingdom of God and you see the King and you know He's the King, you're in the kingdom, there's work for you to do, you see all the work that needs to be done, you won't have time to go politicking. You won't have the time. It'll be a step down. I mean, who wants to step out of the work in a heavenly kingdom down into the dirty work in an earthly kingdom? Who wants to do that? And I thought about it. You get all wrapped up in your king, in building his kingdom, in fighting his wars, and all the other decisions take care of themselves. But nevertheless, it's right to teach the doctrines of the two kingdoms. But it's pretty empty if we don't see that other one in reality. And I thought about it. I was meditating this morning on it. How futile to build a kingdom that passes away instead of a kingdom that's eternal and will last forever. Who in their right mind would step out of a kingdom that lasts for eternity and build one that's going to pass away? Nobody. Nobody would do it. How futile to lay down the weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and pick up a pea shooter. What a futile thing. I mean, that's really what it is. God has given us weapons. They're mighty through God. They can shake whole kingdoms. Pick up a gun and shoot? That's like picking up a pea shooter. How futile to stop shooting at principalities and powers and shoot at the decoys instead. How futile. You see, the problem is they do not see. They don't see the other. They don't see the principalities and powers. They don't see their king. They don't see the things that are not seen. They don't see the kingdom. They don't see the work. They don't see it. And because they don't see it, then they live on the level that they see. That's the way it is. The fire that illuminates will open our eyes to the reality of a kingdom. Number two, the fire that illuminates will open up our eyes that we can see the Word of God. Now, we spoke about the Word of God yesterday, but I'd like to speak about seeing the Word of God today. Too many people learn their Bibles in their head and do not see it alive in their hearts. Too many. Too many young Christians who grew up in Christian homes, they learned their Bible in their head, but they have never learned it in their heart. I'll tell you a little story. When I went to Bible school, I learned the Bible in my head. When I got out of Bible school and the fires of persecution began to burn in my life, I learned the Bible in my heart. There's a big difference between the Bible in your head and the Bible in your heart. When the Bible was in my head, I was a parrot. When the Bible was in my heart, I was a preacher. There's a big difference between the Bible in your head and the Bible in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to learn the Bible in our hearts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Brother John is through chapter 1, so we'll go touch on chapter 1 a little bit here. I want you to see how important this is. It was important to the Apostle Paul.
He prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and the first part of 18. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So Paul understood the difference between knowing something in your head and seeing it with the eyes of your heart. He knew it was important, so important, he knew that he must pray for the church at Ephesus that their eyes would be open, the eyes of their heart would be open, so that they would see all these wonderful things that Brother John was teaching us the last 2 days. Paul prayed that their eyes would be open so they would see these things. Not just know them. We already know them. We can read them. We can break the words down and tell you what they mean so that you'll know them. But when you move from the area of knowing them to the area of seeing them, they will transform your whole life. Just like Brother John said. When you see those riches and you realize they're there, they're mine, they're part of my inheritance, God wants me to use them to build His kingdom, and you see them there, why, you use them. A man can go through anything if he sees. Think about it a little with me. When Stephen was there, standing before the council, what did he see? He said, I see the glory of God. That's a good start, isn't it? That'll change anybody's life. He said, I see the glory of God. And I see the heavens opened up. And I see Christ standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, that's a beautiful thing to see. Throw stones at me if you want. Jump on me if you want. Gnash on me if you want. I see the glory of God, and I see the heavens opened up, and I see my Jesus, and He's not sitting there, He's standing up. You can throw stones at me all you want. A man can go through anything if he sees. I think of Elisha and his servant. What a different way to interpret the same situation. The servant goes out in the morning and he looks out and he sees all these armies around there and he comes in shaking and trembling back to Elisha and says, Master, what are we going to do? And Elisha, why, he sees different. And he's just, this could be, you know, what's the big worry? So what if there's 100,000 troops around this city? What do you want, servant? Oh, Master, we're surrounded. The army, the enemy, they're out there. We're surrounded. Well, what's the matter? What are you so worried about? Right? And then he prays that little prayer, Lord, open his eyes. He doesn't see. And God opened up the servant's eyes and then the servant saw. Oh, boy. When he saw, he joined his master. Nothing to worry about. Who's worried? Who's afraid? Who's scared? I just saw the chariots of God all around the city. Who's afraid? You see what I'm saying? This book is full of spiritual realities just like that. And I'll tell you what, that's what makes a preacher. Somebody who sees. Then he can get up and tell everybody else what he sees. It's beautiful, it's glorious, it's wonderful, it's lovely. Everybody else gets all stirred up about what he sees. But you have to see. And what you see will change your life. That's the way to approach this book. Oh, it's time to have my devotions. No.
Well, I've got to get my three chapters in. No, no, no. I want to have that burning fire in my heart. And then I want to read the Bible to see what I can see today. And it'll change your whole life. There's another thing. When the fire begins to burn, illumination comes. We begin to see the needs of our own hearts. And that's a very real need today, that we see the needs of our own heart. And again, if I can just use the illustration of the head and the eyes of our heart. Most of you that are in this room, if we could sit you down and have a little private counseling session with you, you would sit there and you would share the needs as you know them. Well, I have a problem with anger. I have a problem with rebellion to authority. I have a problem with lust. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. And you could readily share them. But do you see them? I mean, do you see them? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, Isaiah also saw himself. And I read it and I think, Isaiah, a man of unclean lips? Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. Isaiah, you're a prophet. You saw many things. You were filled with glorious visions of the future. No. No, that's not the way Isaiah saw himself. He saw his needs. When the light of God came upon Isaiah, he saw the glory of God. It illuminated his own heart and he saw the needs of his heart. And he said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't even say anything. And we read what he wrote and we say, wow, that he was a man of lips, beautiful, glorious things came out of his lips. Oh, he's a man of unclean lips. Some of your needs, they may seem like little things to you. But when the illumination begins to come upon your heart, all of a sudden they're very dirty. They're very dirty. What maybe you used to do by just simply 1 John 1:9 in it. You know what 1 John 1:9 it is? That's that real simple little thing that people go through when they're not really sincere about the needs of their life. But just 1 John 1:9 it. Well, Lord, I did this. Please forgive me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm forgiven. But when you begin to see 1 John 1:9, it takes a completely different posture. And you begin to see that if we confess our sins means that we look at them and we see them the way that God sees them and we agree with God for what it is. And then we come and say, God, would you forgive me and wash this thing away? And then God is faithful and He's just and He'll forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's a big difference between knowing what your needs are and seeing them. Brother Ross made mention of it. I have it here in my notes. He said, and then God brought him to that place where he saw, oh, wretched man that I am. That's a beautiful place to be. I would recommend you find a place like that every so often in your life. Oh, wretched man that I am. When the fire begins to burn and illumination comes to your heart, all of a sudden, oh wretched man that I am will become very real to you. And you may think, oh, but what a terrible thing. But no, that'll bring the most independent into such dependent states with their God. When you begin to see, oh wretched man that I am, and I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. See, Paul didn't just know that. Paul knew it. And he knew it so well, it caused him to cast himself upon his God every day. And every moment of the day, he walked in utter and total dependence upon his God, because he knew that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Illumination. We'll see the needs of our heart. It's interesting to me, again, these things come back to my heart as I've studied the history of revival. When there's revival fires burning, the holiest of saints crushed in the presence of God over the needs of their lives. Isn't that interesting? I mean, the ones that they're walking with God, they have a good testimony, God's using them, God's blessing them, but when that fire begins to burn, illumination comes, and they're right there next to the rest of them, confessing the needs. God begins to shine the light. It's a little bit like a room, you know, that's kind of dark, you know, and there's dust everywhere, but when you walk into the room, you don't see it until you pull the blinds up, you know, that beautiful summer morning sun. You pull the blinds up like that, and the sun shines into the room, and all of a sudden, there's dust everywhere. There's another thing that we begin to see when the fires of illumination burn. We begin to see the needs of humanity around us. And I know that you know that what I'm saying is so. We begin to see the needs of humanity around us. And that person that we walk by, and we walk by him, and we walk by him, and we walk by him, and we didn't even give it a thought. All of a sudden, we see. All of a sudden, we see his need. All of a sudden, we realize where he's going. All of a sudden, there's a burden for him. And we have a desire to reach out and minister to him because we see. We begin to realize, as our heart is illuminated, he's going to hell. Oh, we knew that. We knew he was going to hell, but now we really know he's going to hell. And that brings burden. And that brings prayer. That brings a broken heart. That brings a cleansing in the life to reach that individual. That brings a brokenness to share. That brokenness to share under the anointing of God's Spirit brings a soul into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Whereas before, we just kind of went our way. It wasn't that we looked and turned and despised them or anything like that. We just didn't see. We went our way. We went by them. Now we see them. Now we're burdened about them. Evangelism begins to flow from spiritual reality. We see where they are. We see what God can do for them. We see the mess they're in. We see the deliverer, what he can do to change them, to snatch them out of the problems and the troubles they're in. And evangelism flows out when we see spiritual reality. Not only do we begin to see when the fires of illumination begin to shine or begin to burn. Not only do we begin to see, but we begin to shine also. Let's turn to Matthew for that. We'll just look at a few verses here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples and to the multitude that was around him there as he was preaching to them on the mount, the Sermon on the Mount. His disciples did not understand what he was saying. They did not see what he was saying at this point. Nevertheless, he was speaking truth to them when he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." It cannot be hid. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel,
but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now these are beautiful illustrations. They picture the people of God. First of all, we see a city that's set on a hill. I believe it's speaking about a city at nighttime where there's lights on in the city. You have a city set on a hill over there at nighttime and the lights are on in the city. That city is not hid. No way. Everybody is going to know where that city is. Neither can you walk into a dark room and light a candle without it giving light to everyone that is in that room. Men don't take a candle that is lit into a room and then put a bushel over it so that there's no more light in the room. No, they don't do that. And so also in the Christian life. When the fire begins to burn, it begins to shine. It begins to illuminate in our hearts, and our very lives become the light of the world. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." And we can see by His life that He was the light of the world. I mean, His life was a light. It shined and shined. It shined into the darkness. And though the darkness comprehended it not, still it shined into the darkness. As we read the accounts of our Lord Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we just see light shining in darkness everywhere He went. The light was shining. Well, when the fire begins to burn, we begin to shine. Turn over to chapter 6 there, same book. We can see a little more what we mean by that. Chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, and may I say, this is talking about more than just here. It's talking about from here out here. If the eye of your heart be single. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eyes be evil, thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Here we get a little bit of the secret again of what makes the fire burn, as we realize that the eye of the heart must be single. And when it is single, when it is singly upon God, light emanates out of the life. It just comes out of that life. And that light that comes out of that life shines into the lives of other people. And it has influence. Just like we told you the story about the one light being lit in the dark room. Great big room, 5,000 people light one candle. And that one candle, everyone knew it. No doubt about it. Everyone was influenced. Everyone in that room could see it. Even the one in the far back, though they may not have been able to see it like the ones in the front, they knew it. They knew it was there. They could see it. That's the way God wants our lives to be. We're talking about having an influence on others. When the fire begins to burn and illuminate our hearts, we begin to shine and we become an influence to those that are around us. We become a testimony to God's glory. We become an example that others can live by. We become the power of a holy life, or the influence of a holy life to those that are around us. And thus, we begin to see some of the reality that Brother John was speaking about the last couple of days. Again,
was so thrilled to hear him share about this body of believers who are manifesting, emanating the gracious character of Christ out in their lives. Well, this is how it's realized right here. As the fire begins to burn, the heart is illuminated. As the heart is illuminated, the life begins to shine. And you become an influence to those around you. And Brother John clearly brought out that we'll never see the reality of the book of Ephesians until we see it in a body of believers. Well, it's a lot the same way with that one little light and those 5,000 lights when they were lit up. Well, you know, God bless that individual who is all by themselves somewhere. Maybe they're there, not by their own choice. I know there are some in this room burdened about the fact that they are pretty much by themselves. Maybe they're there by themselves by their own choice. Well, God bless them for the little light that's shining. But what they need to do is get into a body where everybody's light can shine, and then much more light shines out. That is the will of God. That's the book of Ephesians. People living out the excellency of God's grace in godly character, in the principles of His Word, in the fruit of the Spirit. I'll say this in closing. Again, as I study the history of revival, wherever the Spirit of God began to move among a people, this was a natural outflow of it. First of all, they began to see. That which they'd read many times, they began to see it as spiritual reality. And when you see it as spiritual reality, it changes you. And second of all, their lives became an influence everywhere they went. A light shining in a dark place, an influence on someone else. May God give each one of you the grace and the desire to keep the fire burning. If you will do that, you will realize these very things in your life. It's the will of God. It's the plan of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the desire of God that each one of you see reality, live reality, and become a bright light shining wherever you go. God bless you. We'll break for 10 minutes.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.